I did mention that the upcoming holy days are coming up, the spring holy days, and of course that kicks off with the Passover, where we celebrate the thing I want to talk about today, among other things, but something that you see all over town. It's on signs now. An increasing number of signs have this word on them, mainly because it's the name of a hospital. St. John's Hospital is now Mercy Hospital. And so if you drive around town, you'll see, or go to Branson, you'll see that those signs advertising the hospital and on the hospital itself. But and then when I grew up, the city I lived in, they had a Mercy High School. It was a Catholic girls' high school. And so today I want to talk about mercy. Talk about mercy, the definition of which is the compassionate or kindly forbearance shown toward an offender, an enemy, or a person under one's control. So these are people who may have offended you that you would need to extend mercy to. Maybe someone who you thought of as an enemy or an adversary, or a person that's under your control, that you have control over. Do you show mercy in those relationships? Sometimes it's kind of difficult, but we'll get to that later. First of all, I'd like to look at God's mercy, because God is a very merciful God, as evidenced by the fact that we're all here today. If he gave us total, unfeeling justice, I don't think any of us could survive, because we all have, call it baggage, things that we've done in the past, things that we're working on now, that God has to show mercy to get us through that and get us beyond that, through his own mercy, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that we'll be celebrating on the Passover. And so today, again, I'd like to look at mercy, but first of all, look at God's mercy, because it's really, you know, unending. It's really something we all benefit from. And we can start by turning to Exodus 33. Exodus 33 and verse 19. And here's God coming before Moses, or Moses coming before God. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. God has that option, but as we'll see, he exercises it to our benefit and to the benefit of everyone in the world, that he can show mercy and does show mercy and makes that choice, really, to be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And we know it's through God's grace that we're able to obtain mercy, that we're able to survive, that we're able to anticipate being in his kingdom. And also, if you turn to Psalm 98, verse 2, it says, the Lord has made known his salvation, his righteousness has he openly showed in the light of the heathen. He remembers the mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. The ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. That mercy spreads through all the earth. It isn't just something he shows to a few people here and a few people there. I mean, mercifully, we're able to see God's kingdom. We're able to see his plan. We're able to enjoy that knowledge. But eventually, it will spread to all the earth. The earth will be, as it says in Isaiah, full of the knowledge of God, like the oceans, like the water covers the oceans, just all over the place, unavoidable. It will eventually spread to all the earth. He will offer that mercy to everybody, you know, even people who aren't real good, like us in the past and at times today. So it spreads out to all the earth. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 7, 9. The Lord thy God, he is God, and faithful God, who keeps his covenant and mercy to those that love him and keeps his commandments to 1,000 generations. Think about that number, 1,000 generations. A generation, I guess, is about 20, 25 years. So multiply that by 1,000. Well, that's longer than anybody's been on earth. That goes far into the future, And God's mercy continues for generations. We today benefit because of the character and the grace that God showed toward Abraham. Not anything we did, but Abraham, because of his, you know, God's mercy on him and his dedication to God, his willing to sacrifice his own son Isaac, that blessing that resulted from that has gone on for generations now. Maybe in our case it's not 1,000 generations, but it may be several hundred generations, since I'm trying to add this up quickly in my mind and it doesn't work. I left my calculator. Well, I've got my cell phone, but I'm not going to do that now. But you can add that up for 1,000 generations. That's how merciful God is. We can't even hardly conceive of that. We can't hardly conceive of agape love, you know, the pure, true love that God has for all people and the plans that he has for us. It's hard to even conceive of that, particularly when you look around and see some of the people we know. You know, you see some people, you know, how can God have mercy on him? But he does and will. Maybe not yet, but he will give everyone the opportunity to accept his mercy. Numbers 14 and verse 18. Numbers 14 and verse 18. The Lord is long-suffering. He's patient. He doesn't just all of a sudden fly off the handle and zap us. And of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, but by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation. You know, sometimes that just naturally happens where children are at a disadvantage because of their parents, sometimes because of their example. I've heard of cases where, you know, I've talked to some police officers and one police chief who was talking about a family of criminals. And the dad was a criminal, and the kids followed in the family tradition, in the family business. So sometimes those things happen generation after generation. He says, pardon, I beseech you, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your mercy, as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now. So God can forgive us. Mercy is linked to forgiveness. You really can't have one without the other. They're almost synonymous, mercy and forgiveness. And God has forgiven us all. Has to forgive us every few days, every day probably, for what we do, what we say, sometimes just what we think. You know, that three-stage process, your thoughts sometimes become your words if you don't stop it. Sometimes we don't stop it and we end up biting our tongue and I wish I hadn't said that. And then, of course, sometimes it results in actions that are inappropriate, wrong, and offensive to God, but he has the mercy to grant us forgiveness when we humbly ask for it. I'll take the turn to 2 Samuel 7. 2 Samuel 7, verse 14. And talking here about David, I will be his father, he will be my son, if he commit iniquity. And we know David committed iniquity. He did things that were not right. I will chasten him with a rod of men. David was chastened, and with the stripes of the children of men. You know, other people punished. You were God's agents in punishing David for his iniquities and for his sins. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it away from Saul and put it that I put away before thee. So God's punishment, even when he punishes us, which he does because he loves us, will lead to his mercy. I mean, if you're a parent, you know that sometimes you have to do things with your kids, deny them certain things possibly, reprimand them, punish them in certain ways, and you don't do it because you hate them. You do it because you love them. And eventually, in this case, God will punish us, has punished others, but eventually that will lead to his mercy. And is part of his mercy, part of what he's doing to train us, to try us, to make sure that, you know, we survive, that we're aware of his plan, and what's right and what's wrong. Psalm 136, and or you can turn in the hymnal to hymn number 79, but it's Psalm 136, and I'm going to read the whole chapter here because it's a little bit redundant, but it over and over and over again makes a point. But Psalm 136, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. The mercy of God is going to last forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. Is there an echo in here? If you didn't get the point the first time, to him who alone does great wonders, his mercy endures forever. To him by wisdom has made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule the day, his mercy endures forever. The moon and the stars rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. To him who smote Egypt, their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. With strong hand he stretched out his arm, for his mercy endures forever. To him that divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endures forever. He had mercy on Israel, made Israel to pass through in the midst of it all. His mercy endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever. To him led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endures forever. To him who smote great kings, for his mercy endures forever. Slew famous kings, for his mercy endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endures forever. Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endures forever. Gave their land for a heritage, for his mercy endures forever. Even a heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endures forever. Who remembered us in low estate, for his mercy endures forever. And has redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endures forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord our God in heaven, for his mercy endures forever. You get the point? I hope so. I thought maybe we could close with song number 79, but maybe you've heard enough already of the original version. But this is the original version of it, and it makes that point. God's mercy does not end. It endures forever. Turn to Isaiah 27 and verse 11. And we can take great courage in that and great comfort in that as well. God's not going to change his mind a few years down the road. It endures forever. Isaiah 27 and verse 11. When the boughs thereof are withered, when they are broken off, the women come and set them on fire, for it's a people of no understanding. Therefore he made them not, and will not have mercy on them, and he formed them to show them no favor. God can withdraw his mercy. He can withdraw his mercy. But, turn to Isaiah 49 and verse 8. Isaiah 49 and verse 8. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you, and I will preserve you, and I will give you a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to the cause and inherit heritages, that thou may be, that you can say to the prisoners, go forth, and them that are in darkness, show yourselves, and they shall feed in the ways, and the pastures shall be in all high places. You know, these are blessings. And these blessings shall come, and they shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall they shall the heat of the sun smite them. And he that has mercy on them will lead them even to the springs of water. He will guide them, and I will make my mountains a way, in the mountains away, the highways shall be exalted. God is eventually, even though he may withdraw his mercy at times because we reject him, and he basically, I think, says, well, do it your way. And we can see what happens when it does, when we do things our way. The result, which is not a good result, but he will, again, restore his mercy. It doesn't go away. He may withhold it for a little while. But again, his mercy endures forever, as it says. I've heard that enough today, I guess. Turn to Micah 7 and verse 18. Micah 7, 18. Who is a God unto you that pardons iniquity, that passes by the transgression of the remnant of the heritage? He retains not his anger forever, but his delight, but delights in mercy. He loves showing us mercy. You know, when we ask for it, it delights our Father to show us mercy. He delights in it. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Hebrews 4, 16. Oh, it's here somewhere. These pages are sticking together here. Hebrews 4, 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We can come before God. And we can ask for that grace. We can ask for that mercy. Malachi 3, this is a very comforting scripture. Malachi 3, when you look back at the history of the people of Israel and what they went through, what they did, how they turned their back on God and what he had to do to punish them. But in verse 6 of Malachi 3, very short verse, he says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." God is not like some people. Maybe some of us who as my old boss used to like to say, as flaky as a bowl of post toasties. You know, he's not going to change his mind tomorrow. He's not going to get up and say, "Well, you know, this stuff I've been talking about, I've had a change of mind on that." That doesn't happen with God. He's not going to change. Therefore, speaking to Israel here, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. So God, through his mercy, will recover Israel. He'll restore Israel, and he doesn't change. He's not going to change his plan because of the stupid things that we do or that other people do that challenge that. He has, again, mercy that will last forever. And because of that, he says, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Well, that's just a paging through scriptures on that show God's mercy, how great his mercy is, and again, how enduring it is, and how much we really depend on it for our spiritual survival, because we can't earn salvation. We don't deserve salvation, but God will have mercy on us in spite of who we are and what we've done. To get mercy, though, we have to show mercy. It's sort of a two-way street. We are expected to show mercy. Matthew 5 and verse 7, the Beatitudes. Matthew 5 and verse 7. Matthew 5, 7, blessed are the merciful. You know, when we are merciful, that's a blessing. That's a good thing. Happy is another word for blessed there. For they shall obtain mercy. If we expect mercy, we need to be able to show mercy. And we need to learn to do that. And that's not always easy, is it? Because you don't know some of the jerks I've had to deal with. You know, and you could say the same thing. But we are to show mercy if we expect mercy, because from God's perspective, he knows that we're not so good ourselves. But he's willing to forget that. He's willing to forgive that. He's willing to have mercy on us. Mark 11, verse 25. Mark 11, verse 25. And when we stand praying, if you have aught against any, and your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses, but if you don't forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. We have to learn to extend mercy. We have to learn to forgive, just as we expect, hopefully, and hope that God will forgive us. It's in the Lord's Prayer. If you remember the Lord's Prayer, I think some of us memorized it as kids. My brother and I used to have a race to say who could say it the quickest, because we knew we were supposed to do that. You know, at least that's what we thought, that this is something we should say from time to time. But as kids, you know, you really don't understand the rich meaning that's there, and we would just see who could get it done the quickest. And we learned to be pretty good auctioneers. In that's not a good thing, but we did that, and we of course skipped over some of these things where it says in verse 12, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We want God to forgive us our debts, forgive us those things which we haven't done right, as we forgive other people. That's the catch. You know, we need to learn to forgive other people. I don't think God's going to want spirit beings in his kingdom who can't extend mercy the way he does. But again, sometimes we're challenged by that, aren't we? By people we know. Of course, people know us. They may feel the same way about us. But we need to be willing to forgive. Forgive people our debts. The debts that they owe us, if we want God to forgive us. An example in a parable in Matthew 18. Matthew 18, beginning in verse 23. And I think I'm in the wrong place. But since I've lost my place, I'll just paraphrase. We know the parable of the servant who was told, who was brought before his master and owed him a tremendous sum of money and couldn't repay it. It was, I think, as my margin, if I could find it here. Oh, I've got it here. Let's see, where am I lost? Verse 23? Yeah, 32. Yeah, well, it starts in verse 23, I think. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which took an account of his servants, and when they began to reckon, one of them brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. There I found it. Looked in my margin. I guess I was right in the first place. Which is about, according to my inspired margin, about, well, close to $10 million. This guy owed a lot of money. And forasmuch as he had not to pay his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had, to make payments. The servant fell down before and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay you everything. So he offered to repay this thing if his Lord would just have mercy on him. And the Lord said unto the servant, and was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. Didn't allow for him to pay him back, just said, forget it. $10 million. I couldn't be that generous. I don't have $10 million to be generous with. Hopefully I could be. Hopefully, like this man here did that. But he just forgave him the debt, and the same servant went out, found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 pence. Again, my inspired margin says that's about $15. And took him by the throat, saying, pay me that you owe. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay you, you know, pay it to you all. And he would not, but had him cast into prison till he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what he'd done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord what had been done. And then the Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O wicked servant, I forgave you that debt because you desired of me. Should not you have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And his Lord was wroth, delivered him to the tormentors, that he should pay all that was due to them. And likewise, as your heavenly Father will do to you, if your hearts forgive not every one of his brother his trespasses. And we can just make a comparison there. You know, our relationship with God. What have we done? We know what we've done. We know where we've fallen short. But yet sometimes we're picky about some other guy that, or lady or whatever, that may have offended us or done something to us. And we should learn to show that same mercy toward other people that we have come to enjoy from God, that same mercy, and turn around and not, you know, it's like the guy with the mote in his eye, if you remember that parable, you can look that up sometime, being picky about the splinter in his brother's eye. But we owe God so much. God has been so good to all of us and promises us great and better things in his kingdom. And yet sometimes we look around and we see other people, and sometimes it's, you know, gives us, I guess, a little bit of delight when we see people who we know aren't as good as we are. And, of course, if you know yourself, you maybe know that that may not be true. You don't know what the other person is really all about. We know what we're about. We know how much we are enjoying God's mercy and how much we look forward to accepting his mercy. And then we have to turn around and be merciful to other people. James 2 and verse 13. James 2 and verse 13. James 2:13, for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. Mercy rejoices against judgment. I mean, here you have judgment, you have justice, you have what sometimes seems to us to be right, but mercy rejoices against that. You know, mercy is above that. Mercy goes beyond justice to where you can forgive someone, no matter what they've done to you, and again, particularly in light of how we have offended God. So if we expect to get mercy, we need to show mercy. We need to show, well, how do we show mercy? You probably can answer that already, but we'll go through some scriptures. Romans 12 and verse 3, verse 8. Romans 12, 8. Or he that extorts... exhorts on exhortation, he that giveth, let it be with simplicity. You know, when you give. He that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Do we cheerfully extend mercy to people who maybe offended us? Do we do it with cheerfulness? Or it's kind of, well, you know, I got to do this. I'm supposed to forgive you for this, so I guess I will, or the old saying, I can forgive, but I'll never forget. You know, are we willing to extend mercy with cheerfulness? We could talk about turning the other cheek in showing mercy, not handing out justice. Of course, that's, you know, if you watch a lot of old Western movies, usually it's about somebody finally getting fed up, and Hopalong Cassidy and all the guys, some of you people don't remember Hopalong Cassidy, I barely do myself. That was somebody my parents watched in the movies. But Hopalong Cassidy would go out, gather a posse, and go out and dispense justice. That's, well, we're not to be Hopalong Cassidy. We should be willing to extend mercy. Now, sometimes people may not ask for it. Sometimes they may be taking advantage of us repeatedly. But when we have the opportunity to forgive, we need to do it with cheerfulness, no matter what the offense is. That's difficult sometimes for us as human beings. Matthew 7 and verse 2. Matthew 7 and verse 2. For with what just judgment you judge, you shall be judged. You know, are you a harsh judge? Well, expect to be harshly judged. With what measure you meet, so shall it be measured to you again. And then it goes into that story about the beam in the eye, and you can read that on your own. But we cannot be harsh in judgment. We can't be harsh in judgment. We need to be a little bit tender sometimes, as much as possible, all the time. Colossians. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Colossians 3 and verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, or patience, and sometimes it is long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, also do you. So Christ forgave us. He has forgiven us if we've gone before him in repentance, and we need to forgive others as well. And look at that. Look at his example of sacrificing himself for our benefit to extend mercy to us. Ephesians 4 and verse 32. Ephesians 4, 32. Be you kind one to another, tender-hearted. You know, sometimes us guys, us macho guys, we're not saying he doesn't hunt. I've seen the picture in his office with that dead turkey and his crossbow or whatever he used to kill it, but that's a macho thing. But we need to be tender-hearted, not necessarily to turkeys, but to other human beings, to people that we know in the church, to people we know at work, in our communities, in our families that maybe have wronged us, or we feel we've been wronged. Are we tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you? So we've been forgiven. We need to be forgiving people. The word there, kind. I think it's in there somewhere. Be you kind to one another. The word there is krestos. Exercising my Greek here today, which means easy and manageable. You know, are you approachable? Are you easy to get along with? Are you willing to extend mercy and forgive in a tender-hearted way? You know, as opposed to expecting that pound of flesh, you know, is a phrase that I've used, when you get even. No, are we manageable? Are we easy? I'm talking about forgiveness. I went back into the archives and looked up some an old Beyond Today telecast that dealt with forgiveness. And it was Gary Petty doing it. I think this was back in, let's see, I've got August 20th of 2011, a couple of years ago. And he made some points, and these are just points from him, but I think they're valid in giving forgiveness. Take the situation where someone may have hurt you to God in prayer. Go to God, pray. Ask for healing for your damaged emotions. Sometimes we get our feelings hurt. Sometimes it's not meant to hurt our feelings. Sometimes we just take things the wrong way. Sometimes maybe it is meant, and we do need to be tender-hearted. But do we go before God and ask for healing for our damaged emotions when someone wrongs us or we perceive that they've wronged us? And so much of that is just misunderstanding sometimes. Another thing, it says don't replay what the other person has done to you over and over in your head. Sometimes you can do that. You can just look at that person and say, they did that. I can't believe they did that. And then you have a Don Pierwitz moment where you wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and you're so bitter about somebody, you just can't get it out of your mind. Don't replay these things. Be willing to forget them. And work on being a kind person. A person who's, you know, easygoing, manageable, willing to extend mercy. Turn to Zechariah 7 and verse 9. I can find Zechariah here. I've got to remember the his thing, which Zechariah 7 and verse 9. Thus speaketh the Lord, saying, execute true judgment, show mercy and compassion, every man on his brother. So, brethren, we are going to celebrate in a few weeks the Passover. We're going to celebrate God's mercy on us and on everybody. And In order to get that mercy, we have to be willing to show mercy, because we're going to be like God someday. You know, we're going to be spirit beings. We're going to be helping run the universe and run God's kingdom. And are we going to really work on this over the next year, over the next few days, later today, extending mercy? So let's all have mercy.